bring Christian greetings this morning. Certainly glad for each one that is here and welcome all the visitors with us this morning. Maybe we should do a little explaining here. Some of the families are missing. A funeral down in Tennessee and some meetings out in Ohio. But this morning we're gathered here together to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And so we miss those that are missing, but we're glad for each one that's here this morning. And we pray God's blessing upon those as they meet together to worship the Lord in other parts of the world. You know, this morning, it was by the divine appointment of Almighty God that one of our brothers, Emmanuel Stolzfus, went on to his eternal reward. I believe it was Wednesday, or was it Thursday? Thursday. A little mixed up there this morning on that date, but it was as he was crossing the highway that he walked out in front of a truck and was hit. And I guess about a half hour later they pronounced him dead. But this morning we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those whose names are written in the book of life, those who are prepared to meet him. You know, I met Brother Emmanuel last Sunday back here in the congregation. He was here at the meetings, shook his hand and spoke a few words with him there, having little idea that it's the last time I'd see him on this side of eternity. So today, as we're together here, here we are yet among the living to praise God. The dead don't praise him. Those that have breath, let them praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Give him honor that is due unto his name. Also, we pray for the family down there, the widow and the family that was left behind, Brother Emmanuel. I think it would be fitting this morning, before we go further into the message and continue with the service, that we would kneel together in prayer. I'll call on a few brothers to lead out. Let us pray for the family, especially there in Tennessee, and for the furtherance of this service. Shall we kneel together? Just mind the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we bow our knees and our hearts before you, Lord. Our lives, we lay them at your feet, dear God. And we pray, O Father, that you would have your way in each one of our hearts and lives. Father, this morning we think of the family there. We think of the mother who's left with the children, Father, the widow, Father. And we pray, O God, that you would comfort her, that you would minister to her deepest need, Father, in this hour. Strengthen, Lord, and comfort and encourage, dear God. And Father, for the children, Lord, bless them, Father, and be a father to them, Lord, and minister to them, Lord God. And Father, for the church there, we pray, Lord Jesus, for the fellowship, God. Father, that this may be a means, Lord, of speaking a clear tone, Father, there to the hearts of the brothers there and the sisters, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would get glory to your name through all of this, dear God. Father, we don't understand all things, but we do commit them into your hand, Father. And we know that you do all things well. We know that you are just and righteous and holy. Father, we do commit the situation there into your hands. And we pray, Father, Lord, as the messages are being proclaimed down there this morning in their congregations, oh, bless and anoint your word there, Father, that it might come forth and bring forth some fruit, dear God. We ask it in Jesus' name for your sake, Lord. And then, dear God, we pray for us here, Lord, as we're together, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, Father, that you would touch our hearts, dear God. And we pray that you would speak forth that which you want to speak, Father. And, Lord, we do just commit ourselves into your hand. And we pray, Father, grant us hearing ears and understanding hearts, Lord. And may your word take root in our heart and bring forth fruit to your honor and glory. We pray in Christ Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, I feel the Lord this morning. The Lord has given me the green light to bring a message that I've been waiting on for quite a while. And it's sure a blessing to be together. And this message, you might at first think, well, it's not for me. Because we are going to be signaling out a select group. And yet I trust that it's for all of us this morning as we share from the Word of God. We know the whole Bible is for the whole of man, for all of the time. And so this morning, as we share from the Scriptures, I trust that we can receive what the Lord has to say to us. And first of all, this message, it's going to be a challenge to my own heart and to us as husbands. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 for an introduction to this message. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It's a joy for me to be here this morning, and I am excited about this message. It's a thrill to my heart. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, let's read to verse 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This morning the title of the message is, Husbands, Love Your Wives. Husbands, love your wives. I wonder this morning, every husband in this room, do we know the blessing that God has bestowed upon us in giving to us a wife? There's a number of things we want to look at here this morning as we look at Genesis 2, 18 through 24. God had taken and made man from the dust of the ground, as we can see over in verse 7, and breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the Lord had man placed in the garden there, and then he passed all the animals that he had formed from the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and he brought them before Adam to see what Adam would name them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, I believe God brought these creatures before Adam, that Adam would name these creatures, and there it shows us the wisdom and the comprehension powers that were given to Adam by God. We can look today at the names of different animals, and every name has a distinct meaning that speaks of the nature or the type of the animal. And here we can see that God had placed in Adam the wisdom and the power to think and to comprehend and understand. And then he caused these animals to be brought before Adam, these creatures. And Adam, as these creatures passed before him, he gave them names. And whatever he named, whatever he called them, that was the name thereof. And then we have an interesting thing. In verse 20, but for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now, I don't believe for one moment that God expected that Adam would find a helpmeet among the beasts of the field. No, that's not what God is saying here. But I believe that as the creatures passed before Adam, this was to show Adam that Adam, as of yet, all of that God has created, there is not yet a suitable helpmeet for Adam. And as these creatures passed before Adam and he named them, we don't know, but we can imagine that they may have passed before him in pairs. They have passed before him, the male and the female. But here we have that as God brought all these creatures before him, then we have in verse 20, and there for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Oh, this morning, our God, as he created man, and then as he created the creatures and the beast of the field, and then as he looked down upon man, and God saw that it's not good for the man to be alone. And so in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and Adam slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. Now this morning as I ponder this, oh, the greatness, the magnificence of our God. You know, he could have taken another pile of dust, and he could have created a woman for the man. But God didn't do that. He could have taken of the earth that he made of the beast of the field. But God didn't do that. He came to Adam, and he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And then he took from Adam's side of his rib a bone, I believe, there, and flesh thereof, to create a woman. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. Oh, we see so much there. The rib being taken from Adam and the woman being created from his flesh and of his bone. Not from the dust of the earth. Something with no relationship, something that is distinct and separate and apart. But God took from the very person of man himself to create the woman. Oh, what a wonderful God. What his great wisdom. And then God brought this woman that he had created from man, before Adam. Oh, now let us think in all purity this morning. Oh, it is my desire that we would see the awesomeness and the holiness of our God and see His love and His compassion and His care toward man in providing for man. He brought this woman before man. And this was different. This was not like the animals that passed before man. Something was different. And Adam saw her, and he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Oh, can you picture with me this morning, Adam, in his state of loneliness there. I don't know how long the time elapsed from the time he was created until we come to this point. But here God brings before him a woman to be an helpmeet for Adam. And Adam says, she is of my kind. She is made from me. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Oh, imagine the joy that thrilled his heart. Husbands, this morning, we've been blessed of the Lord tremendously. God has entrusted to us, each one of those of us who have a wife this morning, His second creation with a living soul, with a heart that beats like ours, with a love like ours. Oh, this woman, she was made like man, her person, her mind, in every way, and she was a suitable companion for man, a suitable helpmeet. And then we come to verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Brothers, this morning, husbands in particular, we are called to leave father and mother and to cleave unto our wife. Leave father and mother. There is to be no bond in our life that is as close than with our wife. I'd like to ask you this morning as husbands, is your wife your best friend? Is your wife your best friend, the one in whom you confide and share and fellowship and talk and commune? Or is there someone else that is more close? Someone else that we can rather talk to? Oh, God has called us as husbands to take our wife and to make her queen in our homes, to make her queen in our lives, and to leave all other relationships, and then to cleave unto our wife. Yes, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. We know the close relationship in a family, when there's love at home, when there is a sweet unity in the home, and there's that closeness and oneness in the family. Yes, we are to even have yet a closer relationship with this woman that God has created for man, the wife. They shall be one flesh. They shall cleave to his wife. Cleaving, I'm sure we all know what it means, but we'll say it again. To be joined fast together. It's like a glue or cement binding something together. And this morning, my brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, especially to the husbands this morning and to the wives, we are called by God to leave other relationships and to cleave unto our wife, to be joined unto our wife, to be joined fast together as one. Husbands, is that your relationship with your wife? And then, of course, he says, they shall be one flesh. The one flesh speaks as one body, having no separate or independent rights or privileges or cares. Yes, as one flesh, as one unit, as one bound together being that cannot be separated except by death this morning. Oh, my brother, sister this morning, my dear husband and wife this morning, are you bound together and committed together like that? Equally committed and interested in all things that concern the marriage relationship? As one body having no separate or independent rights? You know, this morning, I wonder how many husbands have left their wife behind while they went to seek their own things. I say this to my shame this morning. I didn't see this all when I got married, and I have yet room to grow in it. But oh, how many husbands run off and leave the wife sitting at home with the cares of the family and all the cares of life pressing in, and they go off to have a good time somewhere. Oh, husbands, this morning, God is calling us to love our wives. He has called us to love them and to cherish them and to honor them. Yes, as one flesh, no independent or separate rights. Husband, you don't have your independent or separate rights. You are a unit with your wife. You are become one with her. And just think back again. As our God looked down from heaven, and as He walked there in the garden with Adam, and then He created woman. What a disgrace today to the creation of God for men who are abusing their wives. Or maybe not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, neglecting them, leaving them, going off to pursue their own things. Oh, husbands, we are called to love our wives. We are called to love them. Husbands, love your wives. Cleave unto them. Be bound to them. Be joined unto them. Be one with them. What is it that has first place in your heart? I trust that if you're a Christian today, the Lord Jesus Christ has first place in your heart, and second to that is your wife, and third, your family. And if you're a minister of the gospel, fourth, the ministry. God, in His wisdom, established the order right here in the beginning. That man is to leave his father and his mother, and he's to be joined unto his wife. He is to be made one with her, and they are to cleave one to another, and they're to become one. Oh, how sad today. With the emphasis on some mushy, wishy-washy, emotional love that doesn't stand. But my brothers and sisters, this is not the love that we have been called unto. Oh, thank God, our love does have feelings. But my brothers and sisters, we are called by God to a higher love than that for our wife. Well, you say that's Old Testament. Bless God. God established it right from the beginning. Jesus Christ confirmed it in Matthew 19. Why don't you turn there with me? Matthew 19. And we'll begin in verse 3. 19 verse 3. The Pharisees came also unto him, tempting him, saying, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Husbands, brothers, sisters, the call is yet every bit as strong as it was the day that God initiated it and brought it forth, that men are to leave their fathers, their mothers, their all other things, and to be joined unto their wife, and to give her that second place in their heart, Jesus Christ being first place. And then he tells us they are no more twain, but they are one. Husbands, love your wives. There we have the foundation. Let us turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. And let us get practical with it as to what the Word of God has to say to us today. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 22 and read on to the end of the chapter. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The first point we'd like to make here, as we see from Ephesians here in verse 23, is that the husband is the head of the wife. Husbands, this morning, God has ordained it and so placed us that we are to be the head of the wife. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're to be the Lord? Does that mean that we are to be the ruler and the dictator? Certainly not. But we are to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, brothers, this morning in particular, as we look at this, husbands, love your wives, I think, first of all, we are going to have to get it established in our hearts and understand the divine order of God, that God has placed every husband in this room in a place of responsibility, in a place where we are called by God to stand and to be a head over the wife. We are called by God to be a spiritual leader in the home. We are called by God to be the head over the wife in that we are the priest and the leader in the home. How many husbands today shirk their responsibility, their God-given responsibility by God to be the head over the wife that God has given to them? The husband is the head of the wife. It is so ordained by God, and we cannot change it. So, husbands, this morning, God is calling you to stand up and fill that place. I believe today we have the women's liberation movements and things that we do because men did not fill their God-given position that was given to them by God to be the head over the woman, over their wife. And brothers, it's happening not only in the world, but in churches today. Because men are not standing and filling the place that God called them to stand, women are rising up. Now, they even want to ordain women preachers. They can preach better than the men. We're at an awful time. We're at an awesome time in the history of the church and of our nation. And God is calling us, each one of us here this morning, as husbands, to see our God-given responsibility and to stand up and to be the head over our wife and over our family. Until we see that, we can't really be loving to our wives as God intended. Back in Genesis 3:16, you don't need to turn there, but we know that when Eve took of the forbidden fruit and sinned, this was what God said to her, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." It is so ordained by God to this very day. But the husband, he is not to be a ruler as a dictator, but he is to love his wife with a love, as we shall see as we continue here in Ephesians. But this is established by God, and until we recognize and understand God's principles and God's order, we cannot properly love our wife. Husbands, love your wives. Christ is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. We could go to 1 Corinthians 11 to also verify that, but we won't. I think we all know what it says. But brothers, Do you understand this morning where God has called you to and the blessing that God has entrusted into your care? If you have a wife this morning that God has given to you, you are called, you are commanded by God to love her. It's not an option. And friends, love is not mere words. Love can only be measured by the deeds which it produces in our lives. How foolish for the man to say to his wife, "I love you, sweetheart," and then to turn around and do something that will hurt her, that will dishonor her, that will defame her. Brothers, we need to tell our wives we love them, but we need to show them with our life that we love them. Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, you heard what I read. I'm not preaching to you today. We're zeroing in on the husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. It was interesting to look up the word love. It's the same word, the same agape love that God used in describing His love for us sinners through His Son Jesus, sending His Son. Love, a sacrificial love, an unselfish love. Husbands, love your wives. We might ask, how? How do we love our wives? Oh, brothers, husbands, so many wait until we get the feeling, till we get a good warm feeling inside, and everything went right at work today, and I'm feeling on top of it, I'm feeling good, and then we can love our wife. Maybe when our wife does everything right, she makes no mistake, oh, and she's done something for us that we love, and it pleases us, then we love her. Husbands, love your wives. How do we love our wives? Well, we are told very clearly how to love our wives. If we read on there in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Oh, brothers, we are called by God to the highest standard of love that there is. Yes, it goes beyond the love of the law of the Old Testament, but it goes to a love that was displayed by our Lord Jesus Christ, in that He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. How did Christ love the church? How did He love the church? He gave Himself for it. Christ laid down His life for the church. Husbands, our Lord Jesus is our example and our model that we need to pattern ourselves after in loving our wives. How did He love the church? He gave Himself. He did not withhold Himself. I ask us this morning, me included, husbands, are we withholding ourselves from our wife? Is there some areas in our lives that we withhold and we're not willing to give? Oh, we need to repent of it. God is calling us to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church. Look unto Jesus. He gave Himself. It was an unselfish love. It cost Him everything. Yea, He went so far as to die for the church. I wonder this morning, how many of us in this room as husbands, now really, let's look at it in the face of it. Are we willing to die for our wife? Or do we think, well, I more important than she is, I'm more needed. When the execution officer comes and says, one of you is going to die for your faith today. Oh, the martyrs of the past are a great testimony to us. They took the men and they took them into the prisons and they shackled them and they burned them for their faith. And many of those men, they stood up and they tried with all their strength and by all the grace and power of God to protect their wife and their family. Oh, take me, but please leave my wife and children. Just take me. Husbands, we are called to that kind of a love for our wife. Do you have a wife this morning? Do you love her with all of your heart? Do you give yourself to her? Or are you withholding yourself? This is my time. This is my selfish little hobby that I gotta protect. You take care of the children. I wanna go golfing. I wanna go fishing. I wanna go sporting. Husbands, husbands, hear me this morning. I believe this is a core problem in our nation and in our churches. Husbands are not standing in the place that God has called them to stand and to be that head over their wife. To be that spiritual leader and authority that God has called them to be. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus laid down his life. He pleased not himself. Jesus did not please himself. But he had one thing in mind. He saw a church. He saw you and I. He saw a church that was in great need. He saw his heavenly Father. And he said, I only do those things which my Father tells me to do and those things which please the Father. I do always those things which please the Father. He pleased not himself. This morning, husbands, do you love your wife that you'll not please yourself and do that thing that you want to do, but you'll go and serve your wife. You'll please her. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Oh, let our minds open up to the Word of God and His Spirit as He speaks to us, husbands, this morning. Husbands, Christ, He was a servant. He came not to be served, but to serve, and serve He did, and serve some more, and serve some more. Oh, husbands, we are called to love our wives that way. Do you ever wonder, maybe, why your wife isn't more responsive to you when after all you've gone your own way? You've done your own thing. Now you come to her and you want her to respond to you. But you haven't loved her. You haven't cared for her. You haven't stood in the gap that God called you to fill and to be that head, that covering. Brothers, it's serious. I believe it's the root problem. It's the root cause of many divorces today. It's the cause of many a broken home, many a ruined family, many a wrecked children, because the husband either didn't see his calling and his responsibility or else he refused to do it. Oh, harden not your hearts. Husbands, love your wives. I'm so sorry for the times that I pushed the children on my wife in the early years of our marriage. I'm so sorry for the times that I didn't take my responsibility in the home, financial, bearing the weightier matters. But I wanted to be carefree and live my own life, do my own thing. I didn't want to be bound under that weight But I had taken me a wife. I had promised before God to love her and to cherish her, to protect her, to stand by her. Yes, there were things that I didn't understand. Maybe I was somewhat ignorant, but not altogether. Husbands, God is speaking to some of your hearts today. He's calling you to stand and to love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. Well, Christ had a goal in mind, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Oh, husbands this morning, brothers, we are called to stand as a spiritual head and covering over our wife. We are called to love her. We are called to build her up in the faith. We are called, yes, to be the strength that our wife can come to and lean on and find support and find help. Oh, brothers, husbands, this morning, don't say you love your wife if you don't take time to hear her heart, if you don't take time to build her up in the Word, to wash her in the Word. How many wives struggle? They struggle because their husbands are not standing in the gap that God called them to stand in. And they sense it and they feel it. And they're trying to bear the weight of it all alone. While the husband goes off to the deer camp for a week to hunt. He's just got to go. He needs a break. But when are you going to give your wife a break? When are you going to say to your wife, today you just go ahead and take that time alone that you want with God. Take that time alone to just refresh yourself. I'll take care of the children today. You just go ahead. I know that you're here at home and you face the struggles, the battles of the family in a greater way than I do maybe. I'm off at work. But today I'm going to take off of work, not to go hunting, not to go fishing, not to do my own thing, but I'm going to take off of work because I love you, sweetheart. I love you, my wife, and I'm going to take off of work today so that you can have a day alone with God and use it as you desire. Husbands, love your wives. Many women complain they don't get time to be in the Word, in prayer like they would wish. Because if it's not a crying baby at night, it's the commotion and the needs of the family during the day. And when does a mother get her time alone with God? Maybe the next time the baby cries, father can get up and husband can take his share. Oh, I failed in it so miserably. But I'm so glad today that God has turned my heart toward my children and things are changing, bless God. So today, my friends, husbands, love your wives. You know, we're going to be accountable before God one day. Yes, we are. God is going to ask an account of us for that creation that He created for man and given to us to be our helpmeet. Husbands, love your wives. Build her up in the faith. Promote her spiritual well-being. Build her up unto edification. Be there to edify her and to strengthen her in righteousness. One of the areas I failed in, you know, husbands, we think we got some great new revelation from God and some wonderful spiritual insight, and we're so spiritual. But our wife just doesn't understand. She's just not as spiritual. And so we go on and we leave her behind. God forbid! Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Make your wife your best friend. Make your wife the one whom you long to pray with. Make your wife the one in whom you communicate and fellowship spiritual things. Husbands, love your wives. She needs you. She needs your protection. She needs your covering. She needs your strength. She needs your stability. Oh, husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What is this saying? Husbands, love your wives even as their own bodies. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Husbands, we're a mixed congregation here this morning, men, women, and children. But I pray God will give you insight to what I say. Husbands, love your wife as your own body, as your own self. Never ask your wife to do anything with her body that you wouldn't want to be done to your body, that you wouldn't want to do yourself. Husbands, love your wives. Love her as your own body, for she is. She is one with you. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. By the divine order of God, by the divine ordinance of God, by the all-knowing wisdom of God, God has made us one with our wife. And a man who loves his wife loves himself. A man who does not love his wife, he hates himself. Yes, a man who does not love his wife, he hates himself. But a man who loves his wife, he loves himself. Husbands, men, you're called to love your wife as your own body, as your own self. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Yes, even as it is natural for a man to take care of his own self, his own person, his own flesh, his own being. So the Lord cherishes the church, and we see the parallel relationship with husband and wife. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. First of all, ordained by God back there in Genesis, reconfirmed and established by Jesus Christ, and again reconfirmed by the apostles. Men, you are called to leave father and mother and all other relationships and to be joined unto your wife, to be one in heart, to be one in goal, to be one in mind, to be one in spirit. God is calling us to that. Husbands, this morning, they shall be one flesh, they shall be one of heart, one mind. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. Husbands, love your wives, even as yourself. Weigh everything that you do for your wife, with your wife, in your home. Am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church? Am I loving her as myself? Husbands, love your wives. We have some more direction given in the Scriptures. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You say, well, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have bitterness in my heart toward my wife. Let's look at the word bitter for a moment. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. Don't be harsh. Don't be resentful. Don't use sarcastic or cutting words or looks. Husbands, don't be bitter against your wife. Harsh words. Just a harsh attitude and spirit, maybe. Maybe not the word, but the look. The word goes unspoken, but the harshness is in the heart. It's not said, but the resentment is in the heart. And husbands, your wife, that God created to be your helpmeet, to be close by your side, they're very sensitive. They're very, very sensitive, and they can sense it right away. They know when there's something not right. They know when you're holding them at a distance. They know when there's some resentment in your heart, and there's just not that oneness. And they wonder, what's wrong? Did I do something wrong? Oh, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. How many times, husbands, use a cutting word or a hurtful remark, maybe in front of family or friends, and they don't realize what they're doing, and they cut their wife to the heart, to the core. Oh, husbands, may God give us a sense of our calling to stand in that gap that the Lord has placed and made us to be in. There's going to be a vacuum in the life of your wife if we as husbands don't fill that place. You want your wife to be more spiritual? You want her to be more joyful? You love her as God commanded you to love her. You say, well, she don't understand. She's just not as spiritual as I am. Husbands, love her, nourish and cherish her, build her up in the faith. Don't be bitter against your wife. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. We'll just pick up on verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. What is that knowledge? How many husbands enter into a marriage relationship without the proper knowledge of their responsibility and their calling and their duty that is God-given to love their wife and to honor her as the weaker vessel? What does that mean? Brothers, husbands, we need to dwell with our wife according to knowledge and giving honor to her, understanding that God has created her in such a way that in many ways they're not as strong emotionally and physically as man. Does that mean they're second rate? No way. We need our wives. We need our wives. In many ways, they're much more sensitive than we are. And they're much more concerned about things than we are. And they seem to sense that maybe something isn't quite right. Husbands, we need our wives. And we need to give them honor for husbands. If we don't give them that honor and that place where God has placed them, we're going to foul up and we're going to make mistakes. You know, God said she is for our helpmeet. God has created this wife, this woman, to be a helpmeet to the man. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't be ignorant concerning these things, that your wife is more tender, maybe weaker in some areas, but stronger than we are in other areas. And we need them. Can you see that this morning, husband? That God has placed in your wife that which we lack. It is not good that the man be alone. And God made an helpmeet. Oh, husband, this morning, when have you last thanked the Lord for giving you your wife? It ought to be a joy every day to rise up and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And brothers, husbands, it will be that way when our relationship is right with God and right with our wife, and we're standing in the gap and we're upholding our wife like God has called us to. We're not shirking our responsibility and our duty and pushing it on them. Husbands, dwell with your wife in knowledge, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor. Husband, you are called to give honor to your wife. To honor her, to value her, to esteem her, to respect her. Husband, do you value your wife? I mean, do you value her? I don't mean that she's all right to have around when you need her. But I mean, husband, do you value your wife? And do you show her that you value her by your actions, by your words, and by what you do, and by being the priest in the home, by being the spiritual leader, by being the head and being the covering for her? Husbands, love your wives. Honor her. Honor your wife. Respect her. Highly esteem her. For she is the weaker vessel, as it goes on to say, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Already touched on that some, but you know, women are so much more delicate, so much more tender, emotional, more sensitive, weaker in that sense, that God never intended for your wife to bear all the burden of raising those children. God never intended that. God never intended for your wife to carry the burden of the financial load. God never intended that. God never intended for your wife to bear those things. God raised up the woman to be a helpmeet for the man. And He's telling us, husbands, this morning, honor your wife, consider her, and dwell with her according to the knowledge that God is giving us right here, that she is the weaker vessel. Husbands, honor your wife. Esteem her, respect her, value her, and show her by your life. Well, it goes on to say, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husband, you are heirs together of the grace of life, and God is calling each husband to love his wife and to bring her along and to lead her and to protect her and to provide for her and to care for her, to cherish her. For you know there's something really special here. I believe we can say this morning of a truth. I've just drawn on the board strife between a husband and a wife. It will sever and cut off the prayers of that family to heaven. It brings a cloud. It brings a spirit into the home between the husband and the wife that causes something profound to take place, that our prayers are hindered. Our prayers are hindered. They're restricted. Husband, I'd like to ask you this question. Have you felt like at times your prayers were hindered? You pray and you pray and you want to have that experience with God. And you're looking for something and you're seeking, but it seems like somehow your prayers just don't get through. Husband, is your relationship right with your wife? Is your relationship right with your wife? God ordained it, designed it to be so, and it will be so as long as the world stands. Every married man in this room has a God-given responsibility to honor his wife, to be the head, to stand up and be the king, to stand up and be the priest in his home. Not to lord it over his wife and his family, but to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, we have a high and a holy calling, and there's only one way we're going to fulfill it. And that is as we are bowed before the Lord Jesus, as we allow Him to be Lord in our lives and allow Him to have His place of headship in our life, then we can begin to be the head in our home. But if we are not under the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ in His headship, don't you try to raise up and be the head in your home, for you'll wreck it. You'll ruin it. You will hurt your wife drastically. How many women have been ruined and shattered both spiritually and emotionally by a husband who did not understand? He did not dwell with her according to knowledge. He thought he had some supernatural spiritual revelation, and he begins to go off and tow his wife along. Brothers, husbands, love your wives and give honor unto her and consider her, for God has placed her in your life to be your helpmeet, and if you'll not listen to your wife, you will make shipwreck. How many husbands in this room could testify to that? When they knew what God was calling them to, but they did not listen to the caution of their wife, but went on bullheadedly their own way, and God allowed them to fall and to make shipwreck in their life. Husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge and give her honor. When was the last time you praised her and thanked her for what she's done for you? You know, we take it so much for granted. All the washing of the dirty clothes, the making of the meals, the keeping of the house. Don't we tend to take it for granted sometimes? Husbands, love your wives. Honor her. Give her respect. She's made in the image of God just like you are. God had a very special purpose. And this morning I'm so thankful to the Lord for what He's done for me. He brought into my life a beautiful balancing effect. And brothers, He'll do the same for you if you will open up your heart to your wife. He'll bring in a beautiful balancing effect. He'll bring a wonderful a completeness that you'll not know any other way. Let your prayers be not hindered. Let there not be disputings and contentions and strifes in the home. But husbands, love your wives. Well, God has given us some beautiful scriptures. I couldn't hardly wait to get to these. We'll just quote a few of them. You don't need to turn there. Proverbs tells us how we husbands ought to behave ourselves with our wife. Proverbs 5:18, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with her. Let there be joy in your home. Let there be peace in the home. Let there be harmony in the home. Let there be a beautiful song of harmonious melody going up, ascending from your marriage union. Rejoice with your wife. Ecclesiastes tells us, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he has given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. Husbands, God has called you to be the fire bearer in your home. He has called you to be the one, to be the priest, and to stir those spiritual fires in the home, and to live in harmony and unity in your home and in peace with your wife. And then you know what happens? A beautiful thing happens when a husband and wife are dwelling together in beautiful harmony. The children come out singing beautiful melodious songs as well. Oh, but when there's that disunity, when there's chaos in the home, husbands, oh, this morning, then we have this effect. Your prayers are hindered. They're restricted. God doesn't hear your prayers. Well, this morning, I'm so glad for what God has provided for us. This morning, every husband in this room, I think you ought to thank God from the bottom of your heart for your wife. And you ought to purpose this day, even as you have in the past, but afresh and anew, I am going to stand and fill my God-given responsibility in my home with my wife. Husbands, God is going to ask you someday to give an account of how you took care and provided for your wife. You might wonder why I brought this little platter. I'd like to read it at this time. There's a little poem on here, and I didn't take time to write it on paper. And it speaks of that beautiful relationship of husband and wife. Woman was made from the rib of man. She was not created from his head to top him, nor from his feet to be stepped upon. She was made from his side to be equal to him, from beneath his arm to be protected by him, near his heart to be loved by him. You know, we want to get practical. Today, I wonder how many husbands would be willing to say, I'm going to fill my God-given responsibility by His grace. I'm going to go home and I'm going to ask my wife, where I've failed her, and I already know that I failed her. I'm going to ask her for dinner, and we're going. To give an account for that wife that you have taken and you have covenanted it to, you have promised to love her and to keep her and to cherish her and to provide for her. You know, there's another little scripture that says that he that doesn't provide for his own has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, how many times I heard that quoted when they thought, well, the husband was maybe a little lazy and didn't want to work. That was a common quotation. Well, he needs to get to work. And yes, that's right. Husbands, every one of you this morning, God is depending upon you to provide for your family, to work with your own hands by the sweat of your own brow and provide for your family. But you know, there's something much greater than that. While many are out there working by the sweat of their brow, they are neglecting the spiritual and emotional needs of their wife. Husbands, love your wife. Husbands, love your wife. When you feel like it? No, like Christ loved the church. Today there's so much a misunderstanding of love. If I don't have the queasy feeling and the butterflies in my stomach, I can't love. Don't buy into that. When you are in right relationship with God and with filling your place of your God-given responsibility with your wife, and you love her and honor her, I'll tell you, you'll have a fire that many waters cannot quench. You'll have a love that nothing can drown out, and the world knows nothing of it. And this is the will of God for every husband and wife in this room. I have no doubt about it. This is the will of God, that husbands will love their wives this way, and that there will be strong families and marriages that will last throughout all their days upon this earth. Now, husbands, will you love your wife that way? Or will you just shrug it off and say, well, that was just him talking? Friend, it's in the Word of God, and one day we're going to be judged by His Word. I challenge you, put away your toys, put away your childish things, put them away and get earnest with God, or someday you might be a very sad man, and you will say, why, oh, why did I not listen to the voice of God and fill the place that God has given me? Shall we kneel together for prayer?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.